Are you in Joshua 3? And we'll be there here in just a minute. Actually, we're going to go to Isaiah 43 first, but keep your finger in Joshua 3. closing out the year, you know, this is the last gathering that we're going to have in 2013. And toward the end of any given year, people obviously like to reflect and ponder what's gone on in the former year. And just review sometimes play by play. And that's a good thing. As we mentioned earlier, the psalmist says to remember the deeds of the Lord. And that's a good thing. And but it's coming to a head. So I know personally my motor is already revving up concerning 2014. I'm already thinking about it, considering it, strategically praying about it. And we've asked our church and our leadership team to be strategically praying about the new year. It would be easy to kind of pull aside before the new year so that when the new year comes, you already have the word of the Lord, but we would not dare compete with all the feasting going on during Christmas and New Year. So we let all that pass. But even as we're not going to begin to pull aside until the 3rd through the 10th, and again, this is just on whatever level you choose to participate with us as a leadership team. This is nothing that there are no truant officers that are taking score. It's just we just invite you to enter into that moment of seeking the Lord, again, on whatever level that may be. But before we've even gotten to that moment, I'm already hearing from the Lord. It's like I'm so hungry about the new year that it's like, it's as if God can't resist and says, all right, well, here. It's like the parent that can't wait till Christmas says, all right, children, I'll let you each open one present, you know, before Christmas, just one, you know. So I'm already hearing some things before getting into the new year that I'm excited about. But I am excited about 2014 because it is a demarcation. It is the rolling over of something new that's not merely symbolic. There are seasons and there are errors that if we are wise to catch it, we can get the wind of what it is that God might want to say for our own lives, for our families, certainly for the church, for the nation, for the city. There may be just one or two things that God puts on us as a people. So I'm looking forward to beginning the year with consecration and prayer and hearing God and receiving from the Lord, even fasting, implementing certain emphasis that God is putting on us, and then just marching together in the purpose of the Lord. So looking forward to finding God. In Isaiah 43, we're going to look at this before we go over to Joshua 3. And the context of this is Israel coming out of exile and God moving them from Babylon ultimately into the promised land or Canaan. And so there was a progression. You know the story of the deliverance of Israel, the great mighty deliverance through Moses going through the Red Sea, entering the wilderness, and just everything that transpired until they finally entered the land. And even in the land, they had to use their faith to set up camp and to be the people of God. But that's the context. But if you'll join with me, please, in verse 18. And here the prophet declares, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Verse 22, yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. And so all the other translations pick up verse 22 saying something slightly different, but I'm reading out of the NIV, so that's where we'll park this morning. But an interesting phrase there, you have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. And so I'm just thinking that in this new year, I'm just speaking for myself. I'm looking forward in the grace of God to wearing myself for the Lord. because we're going to be spent on something. We're going to be given to something. We're going to rally and muster our energies for something, get excited. We're going to sacrifice for something. We're going to focus on something. So this is not a weariness of fleshly fatigue. This is basically just being given to the things of the Lord. And granted, he's the greatest value in the universe. That's an exciting thing for me, to enter into a certain yoke of the Lord in the grace of God, to meet with God and to hear from the Lord in this upcoming season. We know that the prophet Jeremiah declared in Jeremiah 29:13 that we'll seek him and find him when we seek him with all of our hearts. And oh, how he desires to be found by us. There is in the economy of God, just because God ordained it that way, a little bit of hide and go seek. It's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. And God has all these goodies and all these treasures and all these wonderful things, but it's as if there's a curtain or a veil that sometimes will separate us from that. And he just wants to see, you know, who really wants it, who will rev their engine. And so our glory, the glory of kings, is to seek it out. But it's really not that hard. God's not a great hider. I mean, it'd be like, you know, me with my daughters, and I can, you know, remember standing behind a seedling in Guam. You know, it was about this size. You know, one of my bellies going out that way, and it's like, you know, come and find me. And it's not that hard. And God's kind of that way, you know, ready or not, you know, come out. And he wants to be found. So he doesn't really make it that hard. He just wants to see, based on a paradigm of relationship, that we truly want this, because he doesn't want to impose himself and his agenda on us. He wants to know that we're desirous of his heart. And so, but when we do it with all of our hearts, we will in fact have the reward of our seeking. So we want to prepare ourselves to call on him in 2014. We've added this schedule again of fasting just as one more measure to help us find the Lord and encounter the Lord. And there's nothing that's that mysterious about fasting. It's just a bit of an on-ramp to more of God, quicker and faster. And again, it's an added measure of consecration. But again, we're going to weary ourselves for something in life and over something. I submit, may it be for the Lord and the things of the Lord. So a new year is coming. A new season is coming. The question is, will we catch it? Will we get it? Will we catch it? Is there any communication on God's heart? If we position ourselves before him and he doesn't say a thing, fine. At least we were there. At least we postured ourselves just in case he wanted to download something. Maybe a little something, maybe earth-shattering, but if he has anything on any level, at least we're there just to dignify in case the great communicator wants to communicate. Will we get it? Will we catch it? You know, you could pull this into a surfing analogy. How do surfers, how do they get the wave, catch the wave? How do they get the big one? Or how do they get any wave for that matter? Well, the individual, they paddle out, obviously. After waxing their board, they paddle out. And they do a lot of waiting. And they prepare themselves by positioning themselves. I mean, they're not out there kind of scratching and picking. I mean, they're really waiting. Obviously, they have the surfboard turned in the right direction. You don't want to finally, you know, after 10 minutes, here comes the big one, and you've got your, you know, the surfboard, you're kicking in the wrong direction. There is a posturing in order to catch it. There's a certain anticipation, but by and large, the surfer is watching. And they're waiting. And when they discern that there's a particular activity coming their way, then due to their position and due to their preparation, hopefully they're able to get it, to catch it. And you know, watching and watchings are biblical terms in Scripture that speak of prayer. Watching and watchings. It's looking and observing, not passively, but actually aggressively, with great anticipation, watching with the eye of an eagle, discerning, looking, anticipating. You maybe have heard the phrase, the watch of the Lord. And that was really popularized at Herrnhut during the era of the Moravians, when they would wait on the Lord and had a 100-year-long prayer meeting. And the watch of the Lord would go all the way around the clock. It was 24/7 that they would be before the Lord waiting upon him. We know that Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. Not just pray, but watch so you'll know what to pray for. When we pray, we want to pray intelligently. So therefore, the watching comes before the praying. Watch to see what activity do you discern, and then pray God's will based on what you're seeing, what you're observing, what you're hearing. Have we put our feelers out for a new year is coming? Back to Israel. Everyone loves the story of the Israelites going in to take the land by conquering Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. Y'all remember the story. But do we realize there would be no chapter 6 without first chapter 5, which was the pre-possessing consecration chapter? Before there was possession, there was first the pulling aside of consecration. So we can read our Bible and yay, chapter 6, man, they circled that thing. 7 days, raised their trumpet, da-da-da-da. The walls came down. And wasn't the Bible documentary great in the spring, that particular part of the series when the walls came down? And it's kind of like, yeah, Rocky Night. And we love that. But there was a buildup to the shout. There was something that empowered the shout. There was something that preceded the walls tumbling, and it was, in fact, chapter 5. And that's where we are as we're coming into 2014. There will be a chapter 6, but we're in chapter 5 right now. Chapter 5 was the consecration at Gilgal. It was circumcision at Gilgal that enabled the Israelites to take the land in chapter 6. So there's no, woohoo, take the land, until there's first this pulling aside to get everything right, to wait on the Lord. So consecration precedes possession. Consecration, or we could simply say setting our hearts aside for God, or consecration meaning dedicated to a divine purpose. Consecration precedes possession. It's a principle that through pulling aside and obedience, you come forth bigger and broader in God. Consecration allows us entrance into the next thing. It allows us entrance into the next thing. It's a rite of passage of sorts from one thing to another, from one season to another, even from one year to another. It takes us through into the new. Look, for example, the crossing of the Jordan in Joshua 3. If we could go there, I'm not there. I told you to go there, I'm not there. Joshua 3, we're familiar with this, but again, there was an ordering of how this story transpired. In Joshua 3, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua, verse 5, told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go, stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord our God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry land. So they lodged at Jordan, we see, at the beginning of the chapter. They lodged at Jordan, but they didn't know how they were going to pass. They had never been this way before. So up until that time, God had been faithful. They had made the journey, the trek in the wilderness. But they're coming to a new obstacle. They're coming to a new era, a new epoch, a new season, a new thang, T-H-A-N-G. That just encompasses everything. They were encountering a new thing. And so they had never been this way before. I know that when we started out in ministry years ago, it was very novel back then to get up and to open air preach. It was quite disconcerting. Now and it wasn't novel with us. I mean, Wesley was up on his father's tomb, George Whitfield, and a lot of these reformers who got kicked out of the church, as it were, discovered that the whole world was their parish, as Luther said. But back then, it was actually an anointed activity where we saw a lot of good fruit. But I can remember when we first started and the sentiment, you know, get out there and stand up and, well, I had never done that before. And the logic was, well, if you wait until you've done something to do it, you'll never do it, you see. And so they had never been this way before. And so there wasn't a handbook. There wasn't a playbook. There wasn't a manual. And many times, that's the way it is with us. It'd be nice if every season was laid out. And we have broad instruction, yes. But God is going to limit the instruction at times and keep certain things in generalities so that we might get in his face and seek him as to the details of the new season. It's not going to tell you who to marry. It's not going to tell you where to go to school. It's not going to tell you where to live. It's not going to tell you what to do. Now, on issues of morality and ethics and other, certainly there's very clear understanding. But a lot of the fine print and the details in life, we're going to have to get it by going after the Lord. And God intended it to be that way so that we might seek him for what we need, for clear instruction, for clarity, for understanding. And that's a good thing. So they lodged at the Jordan River, but they did not know how they would pass. Verse 5, Joshua begins by telling the people, this is how we begin. This is where it all starts. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you. In other words, get ready. You don't have the instruction now because I hadn't given it to you yet. But you get ready, posture yourself, position yourself like the surfer. And when the wave comes, you'll know it. Whether you're ready for it or not, it'll be ready for you. It might just take you whether you're ready or not. Here I come. And sometimes God is that way. Ready or not, you know, here I come. But consecrate, pull aside, wait, listen, beseech the Lord, make sure all is right. So when the word comes, you're in alignment to catch the wave of what God wants to do in that new season. You see, consecrate now, today, so that tomorrow God may act. But he's going to do it on our behalf, on your behalf. Had they not consecrated, all those Jews could have just simply gotten wet by walking into a deep and wide flooded river. It's funny, if we don't do it God's way and we just go ahead, you know, the end result would be different. If there was no Joshua chapter 5 circumcision at Gilgal before going up to take the land in chapter 6, had they not consecrated in chapter 5, they could have just shouted all day long until they were hoarse and nothing would have happened. They could have said, bless God, you know, this is the seventh day, the seventh round, woohoo, da-da-da-da, and then felt like an idiot. You know, they're pelting you with stones from the walls. There was no power had they not honored the protocol of the Lord. Consecration precedes possession because it results in proper instruction. Secondly, revelation. And you can put these up. Proper instruction, firstly. Secondly, consecration results in revelation. Thirdly, consecration results in power. So, likewise, as we're going into a new year, as we fast, what'll happen is it'll turn down the volume on our flesh and on the physical, and it'll turn up the volume of the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God. It'll turn up His voice. It'll turn up His activity so that we might get it, thus releasing revelation into our hearts and into our minds and power into our lives, tuning us to both God and His agenda. So then, therefore, it never hurts to weary ourselves for the Lord. We're going to be the benefactor. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. And He'll give His communiques when we pull aside and say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Now, you may have an amazing encounter. You may not hear anything, but at least you knew I dignified myself. We mentioned a week ago, sometimes we see through a glass darkly. Other times it's just wall-to-wall God in His download of information. That's in His economy, how He communicates. But it's only going to help all that we do and put our hands to. So we don't want to presume to know automatically what to put our hands to in 2014. Now, generally speaking, certainly we know the gospel, the Great Commission. There's certain things that are eternal that'll always be in place. We understand that. But rather through consecration and being set apart, we want to inquire of the Lord. So here were the instructions given in verse 3 to the Israelites. This was their story. It says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Again, this was the word of the Lord to them. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest carrying it, you're to move out from where you are. You're to follow it. So there's a threefold thing here. The Ark of the Lord, representing God, the priest or the leadership who carry the ark, and then you. 2014 has not been lived yet. The pages are blank. Verse 4 continues, then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. Have any of us in this room lived one day of 2014 yet? Just curious. Any Back to the Future scenarios in the house? You know, none of us have lived. It's yet before. We've not yet been this way before. You know, so we want to say, God, is there something you might want to do, something you might want to say? They got their instructions. I believe that we'll receive ours. It's not every day you walk through a river. Not every day. Likewise, it's also not insignificant to begin a new year. We consecrate. We watch God, number one. We watch His leaders, and we move out from our position, and we follow. In Joshua 3, they were so committed to the ark to lead them. They put honor upon the ark. And had the priest gone into the Jordan without the ark, again, you just would have had wet leadership. You know, not, the miracle would not have transpired. They realized it was all about the ark. At the Red Sea, it was the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire at night. God related differently with Joshua and his dispensation. It was about the ark of God, the presence of God. The presence of God was everything. We don't dare go up apart from God. We don't dare strike out apart from the permission of the Lord with His directive. So we don't tell God about the new year. He tells us about the new year. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, 2014, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, again, I've done this New Year thing 52 years now. You know, the few couple of years, I don't remember it much. But it's easy to say, New Year, blow the horn, watch the ball. And I understand we've been there, done that. But what if God wants to say something? What if there's something He wants to download? We just want to ensure that we're not too cavalier, because God is always communicating. And it's amazing what He'll say when we pull aside. Again, consecration is just pulling aside, set aside for a divine purpose. There are things that He'll do. There are things that He'll say. We position ourselves to receive proper instruction, revelation, and power, so that we might step into God's river or step into His will. We're not going to step in the Jordan River, but we're going to step in our river, whatever that may be. Whatever that may be. What's your river in 2014? He's going to require of you and I to step into some stuff. And it can look like a river. It can look impassable. It can look undoable. That's why we need to lean on the Lord. That's why we need the ark. It's like, bring the ark, bring the priest. Please go before, you see. The proper instruction, revelation, and power. Now, catch this. It enabled not just Joshua and a few guys who really had a gift of faith. It enabled a whole nation to pass through this river. Now, I was in Israel. And I wasn't there at the flood tide. The Jordan looked more like a creek when I was there. But this was in the time of harvest. This was at the flood stage. It was wide. It was deep. It was not, you don't just whistle and just skip across the bridge, as it were. It was impassable. A whole nation, though, goes across on dry ground in pursuit of the promised land. When they hit Jericho, they repeated the same formula to properly receive and attain rite of passage. This rite of passage. At every transition, at every demarcation, we weary ourselves to call upon the Lord. The Israelites, now having been told what to do at Jordan, then they go forward in faith. Now they've been told what to do, crazy as it seemed, now in faith they do. What would the option be if they didn't? Well, Hebrews says, we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. God, the ark, goes before us, and it will ultimately result in praise at the end of the day. It will result in praise. You may be scratching your head on the front end, but on the back side of it, it will result in praise. Look at this in Isaiah 43, 18 through 21 again. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. In other words, be grateful, yes, but let's make room. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland, dry places. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls. because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, what? That they may proclaim my praise. That they may proclaim my praise. Now, was it jackals and owls and wild animals that God's concerned about? Well, yes and no. I mean, physically, that was the case. But it was also a picture of God's people when they were coming out of Egypt and how God was with them. So, yeah, for both, God provides for both, resulting in praise. But about his own, he calls us his people, his chosen, formed for him. So the same power that made a way through the Jordan on dry ground can also make a way through the wilderness desert, producing waters and streams. The same God who dried up the Jordan is the same guy who provided streams in the desert. So God doesn't really care. He's never intimidated by the scenario. Whatever you come to, a dry desert wilderness, he can allow water to come out of the rock. He can provide water in a dry place. Or you come to a wet place, he can dry it up. He can wet the dry, he can dry the wet. Whatever it is, he's God. He can just make it doable, livable, passable, sustainable. And we'll be so satisfied in this that we'll say, yay, God. Thank you, Lord. Look what the Lord has done. So God was about to give the Israelites unusual and uncommon instances of his mighty favor. So it was smart on their part to consecrate. Joshua knew this, that this promised land, this holy land, was in fact holy because it was full of the deeds of the Lord. So God faithfully delivered Israel. He split the Red Sea, as we know. He split the Jordan River, but he also provided water in the wilderness desert. Go to Psalm 114. I love this. Do you have a moment? Psalm 114 reads, when Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. Verse 3, the sea looked and did what? The sea looked and fled. I love that. The purpose of the Lord in the people of God caused a sea to flee. So if I'm going to make a bet on Pharaoh or God, I'm going to put all my money on God. He caused a sea to flee. And it says the Jordan did what? Turn back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? You mountains that you skipped like rams, you hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth. How? At the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Back to Isaiah 43, if we back up into verse 1, it reads this way. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I what? I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not what? Sweep over you. Drop down to verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Then it goes right in from verse 17 into verse 18 where we began today. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? We honor what God has done. That's our launching place of security, is watching how God moved in history, because he's the same yesterday, today, yesterday, and forever. And so we watched how God's moved in history. That's our security. God hasn't changed. God doesn't change. If he was faithful to Abraham, if he was faithful to Joshua, if he was faithful to David, if he was faithful, we can do the math. He'll be faithful to me. So we watch what God has done historically, but we don't live there. In order to bring in the new here, after they just recounted what they had done with the Red Sea, what they had done with the Jordan, then the prophet then begins to tell them, all right, good, you got it? We got it. Great. Now forget that. That's good. Now, great. Now, but prepare. I'm going to give you your story. That was their story. Now I'm going to bring it close to you, sweetheart. Now it's time for your story. Now I'm going to take what you read and bring it into the now. Now is the moment for your story. Now is the moment for your family. Now is the moment for your business. Now is the moment for your ministry. Now is the moment for your dream. Now is the moment for that which God has communicated to you. So forget the former thing so that you might make room for the new thing. The former thing wasn't wrong, but you don't want to be so full that you can't take on the new thing. I know we don't have big closets in my house, and or if I'm going to put something new, I've got to do something, you know. And there's no one in my family that's a thrower-outer. We're all pack rats, as you've heard me say. Normally, you marry your opposite. We didn't. We're just alike. We'll save the smallest little piece of paper, thinking we might need that one day, the sentimentalist that we are. And, and just like after a while, it's like someone's got to take leadership and start this horrible notion of actually throwing something away. But in order to make room for the new season, how many of y'all are in the habit of trading out your spring and winter closets because based on space? And so in order to properly step into the new, because you don't want to be wearing shorts in February, in order to do that, we've got to make an adjustment and make room for it. And it's the same thing in our thinking, because we can say, oh, New Year's coming, Ron Seacrest wins the ball. Yeah, you know, woo, and that's all good and well, but we don't want to kind of have this malaise, you know. Yeah, we heard that God might have done something a couple years ago, and I'm not sure, you know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, you know. And of course, that attitude, God's heaven going, oh, excitement, I'm excited. No, he wants there to be that positioning, that consecration, that bright-eyedness of, God, what might you want to do? What might you want to say? And you may reason, but I prayed in 2013. But did you pray in 2014? Did we give him a shot in the new season, in the new era? Are we here? Because the probability is the more we come to him and position ourselves, the greater the probability he's going to give something and grant something. But if we've written him off, there's no room for him to bring in the new. If we hadn't cleaned out the old, then there's no space for the new thing. Are we here? So therefore, the prophet said, forget the former things. Don't dwell on them. It was good. I moved. It was powerful. But you're not standing at the Red Sea. You're standing at this challenge in your job. You're challenged at this cusp of a relational conflict. You're standing at this diagnosis you're dealing with. You're standing at this financial issue you're having to contend with. But if you'll pull aside, behold, wait on me, for I do a new thing. And it's never the way he did it in the past. It's never the same. We're not still looking at a bronze serpent on a stick. It was just something he did in a moment. And so you see our medical symbols on ambulances and rescue squads for what God did in the era of Moses. But there's always something fresh because he's so big. We don't discount the old. And I encourage you, don't fall into the temptation of feeling disloyal to the old just because you've moved on. Don't feel disloyal to what God did just because you're ramping up for the new thing he's going to do. See, a religious spirit will either keep us always looking back or always looking way beyond into glory, but never dealing with now. See, we want our encounter with God now. We want it to be practical today. Okay, so we thank God. We are connected to historical Christianity. Yes, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Yes, they've done amazing things through the annals of history. Yes, and we're connected to thousands of years of Christianity. Yes, but it's merely the springboard into the prophetic thing he's saying now. We don't discount it. We stand on the shoulders of it so that we can fully get what it is God wants today. The best way we can honor God is to honor what he's doing today. Martin Luther said, if you're not contending for the aspect of truth that's under fire today, you're not fully standing in support of the truth. The just shall live by faith in large parts, not under fire today. It was in the 1500s in Luther's era. What's under fire in our day? On what truth is God telling us to take a stand on? How is God telling us to maneuver and how to relate with the city and how to relate with our neighbors and how to do this, that, or the other? There's always a word in season. We appreciate the old, but it's the framework for the new. There's always something new. I mean, sometimes, you know, I love worship. I love music. And after a while, you think, hadn't every song been written that could ever be written? How can you come up with a new melody? How can you come up with different lyrics? Hadn't they all been crafted? But God's so big. God's just so big. And so just when I feel like, oh, I've milked everything there is. And, oh, God, I mean, there's nothing else that can top that. Then all of a sudden, I'll start Googling Hillsong United Oceans. And I'm just like, oh, wow. And now one of my favorite is this bunch of Irish hillbillies, Wren Collective Experience. You know, I mean, it's hilarious. They'll get a tin can. I mean, they'll stomp everything that can be. But their energy and their life. And I'm like, wow, that's a new dimension of God that the Hillsong crowd couldn't capture. You know, and so we're not confined to what God did and how God's moved. He's so big. He's so vast. Thank God for Hillsong. Thank God for Vineyard. I'm still stuck in the 90s with Vineyard. God's doing a new thing. T-H-A-N-G. Thank God for what he did, but he's not done. But we think because we're done, God's done. We think that because we make God in our image. We think because we're done. I'm done. I don't have any room for anything new. That means God's done. No, that means you're done. And you're thinking, God's not done. God's not done. Look at your name and say, God's not done. There's something new. There's something fresh. The question is, will we get it? Will we comprehend it? Will we interpret it? And we can be the first reporter to get the news hot off the press if we'll consecrate and wait. And that's why I put it on you in 2014. When you pray, when you fast, if you get something, please let me know. I'm already having people communicate with me. Hey, I had this idea, da, da, da. Great idea. Another one came up. Gaynell came up last week. I had this idea. Great idea. David Link a couple of weeks ago. I got this idea, da, da. Great. I mean, it's not even here. The baby's coming. You know, it's like we hadn't even had the privilege to say push, and the head's already out. It's like God's beating us to the point. Just we're hungry. God, speak in 2014. The wine is in the cluster. We are all priests of the Lord. And I encourage you, experience the exhilaration of getting a download from the Lord. It is so fun. There's nothing like hearing the Lord. And there is something fresh. And if you're tired, God's not tired. There's something new. There's another song to be written, another lyric, another melody. There's something more. God is not tired. Is his arm so short that he can't save? He's not weary. But those who wait upon the Lord, there's a bucking up. There's a bucking up. I encourage us in the grace of God. That's always the disclaimer. This is not works. In the grace of God. In the grace of God with a smile. It's fun. Oh, what might God do? Oh, what might God say? It's fun. You say, oh, consecration, heavy. No, it's happy consecration. Happy, happy, happy. Happy consecration. And what else are we going to do? We're going to be spent on something. We're going to weary ourselves for something. It's fun to have a role to play and what God might do and what God might say. 2014, are you ready? Just encourage you. Start waxing your boards. Start paddling out. And the only thing we can do, because we don't create the wave, we realize we can huff and puff all day long. What are you doing? I'm birthing a move. Well, no, that's God's job. We're to position ourselves, wait and watch, prepare and posture, so that we have frame of mind. When it comes, we recognize that's a God thing coming. That wind that just blew across me, that wasn't normal. That was different. There was a tonal quality about that. I'm gonna record that. I'm gonna mark that down. And we're ready because we care enough to be out there when everything is flat. So when the wave comes, we have the privilege because we were out there due to consecration. Amen? Either I'm telling you the truth or I'm lying. All right, why don't we stand up? All right. Lord, thank you for this past year as we started out earlier. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, we rejoice and we do remember the deeds of the Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. We're grateful. We're thankful. We're thankful for how you moved in Moses' day. Thankful for what you did in Joshua's day. Amazing. But Lord, that's only for our encouragement. But Lord, this is our moment. This is our day. But we're not living back there. We're living in the very end of 2013. And Lord, it's not by might nor by power. It's not huffing and puffing. It's not striving. But it's waiting and consecrating and lending our ear, tuning our ear, being sensitive, and just saying, Lord, if there's something you might want to give, something you might want to say, I'm willing to paddle out. I'm willing to expend the energy to weary myself just to be out there. And every time we do, we'll declare it was a good day, whether a wave came or not. It was a good day. It was a beautiful day. What else are we going to do with our time? So, Lord, I thank you for the wherewithal as we here in just a couple of days enter into a new season. I thank you for speaking to your people. Just lift your hands to the Lord if you're comfortable with that. If you're comfortable with that. Lord, I just pray love on your people coming into this new year and relate with them as they take a moment to pause. Relate with them and grant them the reward of their waiting, for it's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. So, Father, I just pray that we would receive from you going into this new year something new. Something new. Something new. For you're always fresh, and your ways are always new. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I was serious about if you feel like you're hearing anything from the Lord, I always take that very much to heart. I take it seriously. Shoot me an email. You know, give me a heads up. If you feel like you're hearing something about 2014 or going into the new year, I want to hear and we can compare notes. I encourage you to journal and to record what you feel like you might be hearing. And again, this is just whatever you choose to make of it, however you choose to pull aside, and whatever the Lord lays on you, not man, but just whatever the Lord lays on you, look forward to hearing from you in that way. So if you need prayer on any level, we're here to pray for you. If by chance you don't know the Lord, this is your day. Don't go into 2014 not knowing him. He loves you so much and wants to forgive you. But if you need prayer on any level, we're up here. God bless you. We'll see you next week. God bless you.